All right, this is the third time to start this show. I've officially screwed it up six times. Welcome to Comic Playground. We are a different crew than I'd expected originally, which was the entire crew, but then I was told Ken wasn't going to make it. He had some family issues. Then I was told Donnie had some jury duty, and he wasn't going to be here. Corbin was the conveyor of that information, and that's what's great about redoing the top is that now I know what the word conveyor is.
I'm still not sure that's the right word.
No, I don't. It's the conveyor belt.
Like a belt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The purveyor. The per-conveyor. The percolator.
It's time for the percolator.
They call him Mr. Coffee.
Corbin's not right with anything anyway, so you don't have to be right about what you're describing. Oh,
that is the voice of Mr. Maurer from Fireside. Chad.
Out of his son's bedroom.
Beat you.
Not even waiting to be introduced, but that's a man who needs no introduction. Mr. Maurer, of course, joined by Adonis.
Hello.
Zach at the big table. And Donnie, who did make it here. I heard you in the other room. I thought you weren't going to be here. And then I heard you, hey, guys, what's going on? I've got to take an Uber. So now explain this. We had started the show. I'd screwed up something with the recording. You're taking an Uber to...
Downtown Phoenix, yes, because I don't like driving down those one-way roads and trying to find a parking garage, and it's just a hassle and headache for me. I just hate driving, period. But
how'd you get here?
I'm with you.
Oh, I drove. It's okay. Not that big.
It's not that big of a deal. Why don't you Uber everywhere?
But, he took a tricycle.
Ching, ching.
Yeah. So you're starting jury duty tomorrow. You made the call in, and you have to be there?
You know, the old call it after 5 p.m. and check your jury group or whatever, and they said, yeah, I have to be in tomorrow at 9 a.m., and I'm just like, ugh.
I have an
idea. What's more annoying, the jury duty or driving downtown to you, like the prospect?
Oh.
Donnie, don't worry. I think when they meet you, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I was going to tell them, you want me in that courtroom. I can spot a guilty person like that.
I could see you showing up with your Wolverine claws.
There goes the metal detector.
I like pinball. I don't like certain kinds of people. What kinds of people? I don't want to mention, but you'll figure it out.
I get a little stabby.
I'm filled with adamantium. I have a difficulty with sharing. All right, so we're thrown off a little bit. I invited Mr. Maurer last second. You guys just finished your taping of Fireside. Any big topics you guys are hitting? Are you guys hitting news this week?
Yeah, so a lot of the topics we talked about are the leftover from San Diego Comic-Con. I'm sure, as you guys know, there's so much news that came out that it was just being able to follow up on all of that. I mean, we had the Disney Plus news. We've got all the news for leaks coming out for directors for Venom 2, with the actor that portrays Claw might be directing Venom, which is going to be great.
Claw from Inspector Gadget?
Yes, from Inspector Gadget. How did you know?
I'll get you.
I was about to do that.
Yeah. Wait, what Claw?
Black Panther.
Black Panther? Oh, Gollum?
Gollum.
Gollum's directing?
Andy Serkis is the top of the directing pile, if you may, which he did direct Mogwai, which is the Netflix prequel, I think it was. Well, I think it was the prequel of the Jungle Book. So he is
Mowgli.
Good with
Mowgli. You said Mogwai.
Sounds like in Gremlins.
Well, that was like,
yeah.
What are the statues on Easter Island? Aren't those Mogwai?
Probably.
Yeah, you had me thinking there's a Gizmo prequel.
There is actually a Gizmo prequel coming out on the Warner Brothers.
I thought you were going to say on Fireside Chats in a couple of weeks because I'm trying to make myself look good.
Yeah, we're going to be plugging Fireside a lot tonight.
Yeah, we're already doing it. So, Corbin, you came to me with a question before the show that we were asking, can we talk about this on the show? And I said, well, yeah, you kind of set the agenda, so I'm happy to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. So
as long as it's not bootleg DVDs.
Wow, really? Okay.
I mean,
but we could talk about those.
Exactly. We don't got to talk about those. Okay. So
wait a second. Let's talk about it.
Did you end up buying the real DVDs that I sent you a link to for on Amazon? Had a great deal for Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, I got that. I did.
You're welcome.
And thank you. You know, I have my eyes on the Batman Beyond.
Good.
Blu-ray release, the remaster.
Yep.
That's going to be good.
By the way, Batman, my daughter, Juliet, just started watching, she watched Batman Begins today.
Wow.
First time? Hasn't watched it for a long time. And she goes, this is as good as a Marvel movie. She's like, I love this. She's like, this makes me love Batman. I was like, oh, good. Because she's been seeing Justice League and stuff. And she doesn't. Oh, she no. can't even get through that stuff. Wow. She can't
Batman
get through-
Begins was my favorite Batman movie ever. I mean,
it's
the Dark Knight was good, but it was more of a Joker movie. I thought Batman Begins was amazing.
I forget that Batman Forever exists. That was a good
Whoa.
Movie.
Has she seen The Dark Knight?
She hasn't seen The Dark Knight since she was much younger and shouldn't have been watching it. But like my kids, she used to watch.
She likes to see the world burn.
That's her. There's a lot of Joker in Juliet. She leaves a calling card. But she was very excited because she's like, this is a good movie. I'm like, well, this trilogy is all like this. This is a great set of movies. But it made me excited because she was into Batman. She said today Batman might be my favorite superhero at this point. I was like, wow.
From one movie.
Because she was just nice. Into it. It's an adult type of movie, right? It's a film. It's not like a lot of what superhero movies used to be. I think that that Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and that whole the Christopher Nolan trilogy changed how people made superhero movies.
Yes.
Well, Nolan, if he had his way, it was going to be four movies. After filming the second one, he wanted to do part three in two parts, and they kind of put the kibosh on it, which is why we got The Dark Knight Rises, which felt like two movies kind of crammed into one and not really telling a good story on either side of it.
I feel like that's typical with the third movie of a superhero trilogy, like Spider-Man 3, X-Men 3, Iron Man 3. Yeah, they're all trying to squeeze a lot in because they don't know if they're really going to be able to get that fourth movie out.
Exactly.
Because if you notice, it is a lot of no man's land that's put in there along with Nightfall.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to get a good portion of the movie that was just Batman being badass. But when you have to make cuts, you need to show Batman's redemption story in that. Mm-hmm. So we got him being broken in the first act, a second act that really doesn't make any sense, a big fight in the third act, and then Batman may or may not have killed himself. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, let me say this first before you go, Corbin. I still liked it. So there.
Well, I like it. I get bashed on all the time because I like that. And sometimes it's not a better movie than Dark Knight, but sometimes I like it more because it's more Batman-esque than a movie that's just about the Joker.
Well, it doesn't have to be perfect to be an enjoyable movie either. I mean, shoving a couple of stories into one can be done well, and I think Nolan did it well.
Yeah.
But I'll just say the biggest problem I had with Batman Begins was that he saved the kid who goes on to play Joffrey. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I looked it up today, and I was like, why does that kid look so familiar?
So familiar. It's uncomfortable. You're like, don't do it. But then he saves him.
I am your king.
You know they're not tied in, like it's not a continuation.
No, no.
Different universes.
It is, yeah. No. All
Corbin, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I felt like he took elements from not only those stories, but also Batman the Cult, especially with the takeover by Bane. The images literally taken, like panel for panel from Batman the Cult. And if it was a brief summary, he was Batman was drugged, dragged to a cult by this mysterious leader who may or may not have had this like longevity, like, I guess, powers or whatever, and he took over Gotham by using the homeless. And that in and of itself was a ripoff of Batman, The Dark Knight Returns, with some panels and images there. So it was always like stealing from other stuff. So I get you on that, but it felt like that last movie, Nolan did grab, okay, we have No Man's Land, we have Batman the Cult, we have Nightfall, we have 2 hours, let's make it happen.
Now, the real important piece of information is, Corbin, you had something you wanted to say before we stole your thunder?
Yeah. Okay.
I was thinking about that too. I was just trying to skip it.
No. It was something I thought about because, in fact, let me look. Stephen McFeely, I know, and Christopher Marcus, okay, the writers for Avengers Endgame, they were interviewed at San Diego Comic Con and they were like asked, you know, about their projects and what they were looking forward to and what they would really like to do, you know, those kind of questions. And so McFeely said that he was interested in doing a Superman movie and that if anything, Captain America showed that. you don't have to dirty up a superhero or, you know, make him grittier. Basically, a kind of a call out to, you know, Snyder and what they did with Superman, Man of Steel and everything, and that he was a big fan of Christopher Reeve's Superman and would like to do kind of a movie that harkens back to that type of feel and everything. My question was, do you think that movie could work? And not because, you know, we don't have to dark it and make Superman like a killer or, you know, all obsessed with gods and power and everything like the themes of the modern Superman movies. But can we go back to those like light, carefree, entirely almost Superman movies?
I think we can. And they're never going to work for Marvel again with all the crap they've started against Feige and the Russo brothers with fighting them on what the meaning of the timelines were in Endgame. But Superman's best story doesn't have to be dark. It has to be his superpower is him being more human than the rest of the humans on Earth. He holds back everything. Some of the best lines that have come out is when he's fighting somebody who's truly powerful and he has to say, I can finally let go. Earth feels like I'm fighting in a paper bag. So if you tell the story of him being the Boy Scout and truly trying to show humanity what it could be at its best, that could be shiny, sparkly, clean. And it could also be a movie that could tie into what we need to see as a reflection of the world today.
Well, I disagree with you completely. I think Brightburn is the way.
So I think as long as he shares his mother shares the same first name as Batman's mother, you can do no wrong.
Martha? Why'd you say that name?
So explain this to me. So they're talking about doing – who is this again?
One of the writers. So this was in Stephen McFeely is his name. Now, they were asking him questions about that. Not this down the pipe.
Where were they asking these questions? Is it Comic-Con?
This is at San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was really just a question that I thought, because that's not news. It was there, but it was like, wow, do you think that type of movie? I mean, we already have so many iconic tales. You have the, you know, the Batman movies in the 80s and the Superman now and everything. And certain movies that I don't think could be replicated either because the times have changed or the style of it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But the Warner Brothers, the DC movies are going much more campy and silly now. Yes or no? Because Aquaman's...
I think Warner Brothers is stealing from Marvel, where they're going to have movies that are different genres. Aquaman, the only way to have that movie do well was to not take itself seriously and make it look campy. Wonder Woman, you're not going to get, you know, that same kind of feel. They're doing the 80s type thing to continue with their storytelling, but that's still going to be a strong action film.
Did you hear they're doing reshoots on that one?
Really?
They started.
Yeah, they made Wonder Woman a man.
Well, there is.
But she's identifying as a female.
Yeah.
There's reshoots in every movie. They're built into the budget. At this point, with what you're getting on film and what the studios have to look at, and the fact that DC has had so much changes in their upper echelon of creative direction, there's going to be reshoots, and there's going to be focus groups, and they're going to do everything they can to not make a mistake again. And they've got good track record for the past three movies.
My thing is, like, when it comes to DC content in general, I'm just confused about what I should do, what I should pay attention to, because I got really hype with the Swamp Thing and I liked it, and then all of a sudden it got canceled after the first episode.
It's going to come back. I can almost guarantee it.
Really?
With the Warner Brother and the AT&T thing going through, that service launching, it looks like DC Universe is going to be absorbed into that service.
Okay.
I mean, you already have the second season of Doom Patrol being picked up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
By another carrier that's still owned by them. They can push that money around. It got canceled because of money reasons.
Yeah.
As much as people want to point the blame here and there, they lost a lot of money doing somebody's mistake, whether it was the government in the Carolinas or somebody at DC that just didn't fill out the paperwork right. They lost a third of their budget on top of it. So there is no creator out there that would let that show go on as is. They'll have to renegotiate contracts, which is why they have to cancel it, because otherwise the original contracts would have to go into the second season.
Now, I do have to push back just a little on the DC Universe
I don't care.
Emerging. Because, no, because, I mean, at least, okay, so where did it come out at Comic-Con that they're at least going to keep them separate for just the new future? But I would think that would make sense that if DC Universe is going to be part of HBO Max, just take the video content. Because what separates what separates DC Universe from Marvel Unlimited is the animated series, is the movies, is everything there. So if you take that, the actual content there, and bring it over to HBO and then keep DC Universe as just the comics, like an answer to Marvel Unlimited, that makes sense to me. But there's no way that it's going to be a funky fit if DC Universe takes or is part of HBO Max, because what are you going to do with all the comics? They're not going to have them there. And if they are, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
With Hulu just announcing that Disney Plus is going to be an add-on to Hulu, you can look at it much similar in the similar way that you can have it, but it's going to be an add-on.
Ah, wow, that would...
I just found that out. Thank you. Oh, my God.
And it looks like Comcast, by the end of next year, will probably sell their stake in Hulu, so Disney will own the entirety.
They'll own the universe.
By the way, Disney announced today that it was reported that Disney earned more money than any other studio in history this year to date, and there's still 4 months left.
It's only July. Yeah. I saw that as well.
Wow.
And Endgame has paid for Star Wars and their Marvel acquisition.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't doubt it.
No, you don't have to doubt it. It's actually happened. What else you got, Corbin?
So the producer for the upcoming, well, in the future, Black Adam movie, Hiram Garcia, he announced that basically the series of movies they're going to do is to transition him from more of a villain to an anti-hero, almost in the same vein of, I guess, what Sony's doing with Venom. What are thoughts on that? Because for me, they haven't even put out a costume design or anything yet. Like, he's talking about the direction of the future movies when, like, we haven't even seen what he's going to look like. Obviously, we can assume it's the classic Black Adam.
Don't you usually figure out the direction of the movie before you hire a costume designer?
The direction of future movies, plural.
That's not how,
my fault.
That's not how I do
no,
it.
No, my
that's
fault.
I get a costume, and then I write the movie around the costume.
And then you act, and then you put the makeup on.
I meant to say movies, okay? He's putting out direction, like almost like where Spider-Man said, we're going to do 9 movies, but they'd already done 2. Like, but you're saying we're going to do 3 movies and you haven't cranked out the first. Like, well, that's what I meant to say. Yes.
They're planning did they do that for Lord of the Rings? Universe.
Huh?
They did that for Marvel. I mean, they want to plan these movies so it's not an afterthought when they're connected. So they've got to plan the next few steps, because before Black Adam and Shazam see each other, they each are going to have their own movie. Shazam's going to have a sequel. And then either in Black Adam 2 or Shazam 3 is when they're going to meet. So they've got to find a way for that to work, as well as the story to progress, because when you have The Rock playing a superhero anti-hero, you can't have him be a bad guy for long.
But that's what I'm saying. But Black Adam is – would you consider him an anti-hero?
I would consider him an anti-hero, but they set the tone in the Shazam movie as him as a villain.
Well, okay.
It depends. Is it Black Adam A-T-O-M or Black Adam A-D-A-M?
A-D-A-M.
Well, then, yeah, he can't be a hero.
That
because okay. He's black.
No, what?
Is it okay?
I wasn't asking about that one.
I was definitely thinking that, but I was.
I was like Adam. I mean, I don't know. I always consider him. I didn't consider him anti-hero.
Yeah,
I definitely consider him an antagonist. Like,
yeah,
that to me almost like Venom in a sense where at least Venom there's substantial work to see that he could be on both sides there. Black Adam, I didn't see it. Maybe I need to read more of him, but that's not a slant I was at all. A fan of. I get it, though, because you have to keep him around, and with an actor of The Rock's caliber there, I mean, there has to be a way to market that and keep it going, but I don't know if that's, like, smart. I guess I was trying to figure out, like, why are we doing where we get popular actors, and this is only, like, the second time it's been done. We put them in movies of, like, villains or anti-heroes, and then we swing it that way, where it kind of goes against what people remember from the books. Like, there's been a couple stories that he's there, but by and large, you look at villains, Black Adam's one of them.
It's a villain or just somebody that isn't quite the hero in that book. I mean, the best villains are the ones that could be a hero if the world just slightly changes the view of the reader. And when you look at Black Adam, kind of like Thanos in the MCU.
Oh, I was going to say that, but I just didn't think you guys would think it was smart. Turns out it was.
No. Well, no, it wouldn't have been the way you said it, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, but that's any good villain, right? Any good villain is written in a way where the villain thinks that they're doing what's right. But that still doesn't make the villain right.
That was the problem with me with Shazam, the villain for me in Shazam, which is one of those things where I'm saying it really poorly. But he was obviously a bad guy
the whole time. You just felt that made it campy, as opposed to, like you're saying, Thanos, who you actually felt for, and like, oh, he really wants to help everybody, just in a really bad way.
Yeah.
I have a question for this, because I want to backtrack a second, because we were talking about laying out the universe for DC from the beginning of Iron Man. And I don't know if maybe Maurer, you know this, maybe Corbin, maybe somebody.
Definitely not me.
Not you. I wasn't going to name you.
Thank you.
But did even from the first, from Iron Man or Hulk, I guess Hulk was early on, but was there a plan of the MCU they knew even from that first film?
They knew if it did well, they wanted to be able to tie it together. There was a thought of a connected universe. There wasn't a plan for what the universe was going to do.
Okay.
So when you look at phase one, as the movies progress, you start to see a bigger thread that's common between all of them. But in the beginning, they just wanted to be like, hey, this is going to happen. We don't have to know what happens when the Avengers assemble. We just need to let you know we're thinking about it.
So DC have a phase one?
They did.
And it's phased out.
I was right in my head too.
Yeah. When Snyder was given the boot, they said goodbye to all that. And then their phase one became, how do we not erase what we've done,
Wonder Woman,
to change what we're going to do? Yeah.
There you go.
And that's when they hired the director for Aquaman, and he was the first person to turn to DC and say, you don't have control over me. This is my movie. You're not going to take away the scenes that I want in my movie, which is why in Batman versus Superman, he doesn't have the trident and you don't see Atlantis, because he said, there's no way you're introducing my world in that movie.
Huh.
And from there on, the directors started getting more and more power, and they pulled it away from the Snyderverse vision, and you're starting to see better DC movies, which is funny because that's the big complaint that all the directors for the Marvel movies have, is they don't get to direct a movie. They get to point a camera at somebody else's vision.
So I have a question, Zach. Why did you say Wonder Woman? I didn't understand.
Well, because I think that was the...
That was like a good movie.
Really, yeah. Only movie from the DC, quote-unquote, phase one that was both a success at the box office and critically, where they said, let's keep this going.
Okay.
They announced Wonder Woman 2, like, shortly after, and I think that's... You know, I'm Aquaman is another example, I guess, but they didn't, you know, Aquaman in a sense is a spinoff from Justice League because they introduced him in that. But what did I have to say on that? I lost it. It's gone. Somebody else talk.
Pretty much the club. It was the one that kind of saved what was kind of a fast nosedive for DC. You had a movie there that was hope. Okay, not all of our movies are just train wrecks. And then with that, they kind of built off that whole direction. And now you have a couple of solid movies, a couple of solid hits after that with Aquaman and then Shazam.
And that's why I was focusing on the DC universe, basically. I'm like, okay, are these going to tie in, unlike what they did with the Marvel shows on Netflix and things like that? Like, is this a part of the bigger picture? If this fails, then what is DC going to do cinematically? Correct.
See, this is why I would say safely, like, I think they should just keep making solid movies. Worry about connecting them and stuff later. I mean, you already have, what, 2-3 now that are good? Keep going with that. We don't even know where Superman's up in the air.
Yeah.
Batman's not there. There may be a Flash movie. There may not be one with Ezra Miller. Like, we don't know these things yet. So,
well, Ezra Miller's out officially.
He's officially out now.
Okay.
Options over.
Because I know he wasn't writing. I knew he was writing when that was denied. Then he was going to be in it anyway, and now that's no longer the case either.
His option's over. All right, he's out of contract.
See, Corbin, I have to disagree with you, which seems perfectly normal.
For once.
No, I don't. I think you can't just... Marvel has set the tone. People want to see these movies connect. Am I wrong?
But DC has been trying to be Marvel light for a minute now, and they haven't been able to.
They haven't been able to do it, but
so why would you
people disappoint?
Marvel's not even going to do it anymore.
Really?
So Marvel's big thing is they don't want everything to feel as weighted as it did.
Hmm.
So that's why we're going to get team-ups more rather than a long connected story that you have to keep the same thing through everything. We're getting the horror movie with Doctor Strange. You know, you're getting different stories that are just one or two characters.
So directors have more of an art to what they're doing then, is what you're saying, like you were pointing out before.
But in a sense, I feel like the director still, I mean, every movie had its own distinct kind of personality. And, you know, the Marvel may have said, or Disney may have said, you got to put Black Widow into Iron Man 2. But, you know, it's really up to the director, the way they actually introduce with the Black Widow. And I mean, that's at least what I saw there. But you know, and other people may have seen it differently.
It's funny that you brought up Batman Begins in the beginning of the show, because when Black Adam was portrayed as a hero in the Justice Society of America, David Goyer was part writer with that with Jeff Johns. So David Goyer is known for writing Batman Begins and a lot of very good film scripts. They haven't signed on a writer for Black Adam yet. If they want to get that story arc done well, they can bring in the original comic writer to help tie that in, which would then give DC the weight that they've been trying to get. Hey, we are here for the comic fans. Here's what we're doing.
But I think you either make the movies to stand on their own, or you make them with the plan to connect. Because if you don't do that in advance, you have to go backtrack and then try and figure out how they're never going to connect.
They have to connect in some way, because you're going to kill the continuity.
But I don't feel like...
Are you, though?
I think so, because, I mean, obviously Marvel proved that they could earn a lot of money by maintaining that level of continuity. And so if you just go, say, we're going to do a completely independent movie and it's not going to be related, you can do a Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, which at the time it was not related in any way, but they managed to bring it in. And so,
well, that's because it's galactic, though. I mean, in terms of, like, the Joker movie is going to have nothing to do with anything. By the way, people are saying that there are some insiders that have seen some things and say, Joaquin Phoenix is like unbelievable and going to get nominated for
I think
Oscar.
It's fine to say the Joker can have its own independent movie that's completely unrelated, but then if you release a Batman movie 2 years later that has a completely different Joker, that's where things get messed up. Or if you pretend it didn't exist after the fact.
I get that.
I completely disagree, because DC's based their whole life on being able to do these Elseworlds and these stories that don't tie together, and giving the writers a way to express themselves. I think the needle in the arm, the shot they need, is this Joker movie, which looks like it's going to be phenomenal. All the insiders saying it is the Joker performance to beat. It is not paying attention to any comic book, which they've said from the beginning. And once you get that as a palate cleanser and know that it's okay to have a story that doesn't connect to Batfleck, now you go to the next phase and then you can do whatever you want.
I mean, here's my thing. If it is super, super popular, though, are we going to continue with, as Zach said, this Elseworlds continuity? So if they make a joke, if the Joker goes great, like, unless it's like a clear beginning, middle, end, like finality to it, are they going to greenlit another one? And then we're going to have this where DC fans are really big on this Joker that's not related to anything comic related. Like, and then going from there, because how else? You're right. You already have a bad movie coming out. So you're right about popularity, it being a good movie, everything being that. Being the case, but popularity-wise, you know how that goes.
There are rumors that this Joker is being considered to be brought into the main continuity. Joaquin was seen on set of the Harley movie, then there's also rumors that when they said that, Jared Leto had posted a picture of himself as the Joker, and it looks like they might have had a body double for his Joker on the set.
I just think it's hard to have it both ways. I mean, when Venom, for example, came out Sony did it independently. A lot of the concern was it doesn't tie back into the MCU and it's not part of Marvel, and Spider-Man didn't play a role in it. And I think that that really tarnished Venom in a lot of ways, and sure, it made some money, but there was definitely some disappointment there. I personally didn't like it, and I know a lot of other fans didn't either, because you couldn't tell the same story. You couldn't tell as good of a story that way. And so if DC says, all right, we're making a bunch of independent movies, and they did well with it in the past with the Batman trilogy, or the original Batman series, the Batman trilogy, but then if you start creating this other DC universe, it's very difficult to kind of have those parallel paths, because, yes, DC has done Elseworlds in the past, and that's all good and well for comic book readers. But if you're going to try to achieve the level of success that Marvel has outside of the comic book reader world, it's going to be very difficult to pull those people in if they feel like very confused about which Joker they're watching.
There is a real simple way for them to tie it together, and it just goes back to something that Marvel has done recently, which is acknowledging fan theories. Now, if you remember in the Batman versus Superman, the rumor was that the Joker that we were seeing was Jason Todd. If they follow through with that and that's actually Jason Todd, then Joaquin Phoenix could be the Joker that killed, quote unquote, Jason Todd, and you could tie them together.
I was actually just thinking that because the whole Red Hood thing, then that can spark off another stream and trilogy and all that jazz too. And fans would definitely, comic book fans especially, would definitely go in there and be tied into this universe that DC is creating and fixing and putting tape on.
And then you could spin it with a different actor as Jason Todd, being as he didn't look like himself as the Joker. You put a new actor in there, you have the Red Hood. Mm-hmm. Bada bing, bada boom, you now have a different franchise that's tied together that didn't have to be planned that way. But also, if it doesn't work, you have something separate.
Do you think we'll see another Justice League movie? Having outlined all of that, do you think they're going to be able to tie in other...
Really?
Yeah, and I think there's an easy way for them to do it.
God, tell me.
You just said that part was easy, the whole Jason Todd thing,
exactly.
And it was not easy at all.
But let's hear your easy, not easy, you know, thing on that. Because I don't see it yet, at least for another 5 years.
No, it's going to be a little bit. We all know Tower of Babel, right?
Nope. Yes, love that story.
No idea.
Oh.
So Tower of Babel is...
I mean, I know the biblical story.
Oh.
Which I don't.
So I'll fill you in later.
Okay. Justice League, Tower of Babel. Batman has a way to stop everybody in the Justice League.
Oh.
Like the animated movie Justice League Doom.
Doom, yes.
Same,
yeah.
Kind of rip off of that, too.
If you do that in reverse, you have all these independent movies that are these superheroes, but in the Justice League movie... they're all getting shut down by Batman, and then they can come together at the end to fight that hero.
Oh, wait, to fight Oh, you mean to fight the villain at the end? Or they're
the
all
villain,
fight-
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say that'd be an easy battle.
Well, either way, they can fight Batman and put Batman on that outskirts of Justice League, which he's been in multiple times, which would only add to a Batman we have never seen before, which is a Batman that's running from Gotham, running from other heroes, and completely operating in the shadows.
Yeah, but Batman was really on the outskirts in the Lego Batman movie. Wasn't invited to that whole Justice League party. Anybody catch that?
That was pretty funny.
Great moment.
All that being said, that's a great idea that the Tower of Babel is like a movie. Because I hadn't thought of that. It's like something that, right alongside for myself, No Man's Land. It's stuff like comic stuff that, okay, No Man's Land sort of ripped off in Dark Knight Rises, but that you could take and actually make a movie out of. But that's interesting. I'd much rather have them just fight, like, you know, Vandal Savage or something, like introduce him. But you have to be careful the way you do that, too, because it'd be almost like they introduced Doomsday in Batman vs. Superman, where it was just totally forced and, you know.
Vandal Savage should be their Thanos.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And explain to me Vandal Savage.
The immortal villain who has caused the wars and all the evil that's happened to the world from the dawn of time.
So basically you.
Yes.
Wow.
I'll take that.
That look you actually gave us, like, you know what? You're right.
I'm hurt you found out.
So you think...
Damn it.
All right. So you're believing that Savage would be the DC's version of Thanos rather than Darkseid.
Macho Man Randy Savage?
Oh, my God.
Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Step into a Slim Jim, Batman.
Oh, he's got the snap, too.
Oh.
Just like Thanos.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan comes in. Let me tell you something, brother. Should have gone for the head.
By the, and that turn,
I think we got it, guys.
George,
are you listening?
George the Animal Steel.
Elizabeth.
Green tongue. And Vince McMahon.
Look at that green tongue. What is he? He's going to eat the turnbuckle.
What's Andre the Giant doing in here? Does anybody want a peanut?
He's savage. Just find some old clips.
No, he's dead.
No, I... Okay.
Well, so Darkseid
also Savage.
That's thank you. That's who I would have rather had as like the ultimate.
Yeah, but that is Thanos. Like Thanos was literally.
I know, but that makes perfect symmetry. Like you're right. It's an obvious ripoff, but that would be. The one. Well,
if people are going to be like, oh, the dark side is a Star Wars thing. You can't do it, DC. Oh,
I would hope that fans are more educated, but I give you.
No, they're not.
Okay.
But here's what's going to happen. Right now, we've gone down that path. Marvel beat DC to the punch on their own character. Yeah, it's terrible. You don't want to be that movie studio. If you put Vandal Savage as the driving force behind everything, he can take the place of Lex Luthor. He can take the place of the big immortal bad. He can pull the strings on everything. He can pull the strings on Ra's. And then when you have that big battle and you think you finally toppled, you know, the king, you have Vandal show up, and then you have a whole other story you can tell.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it gives you different timelines to work in because you can go back, you can go forward. He exists everywhere.
Yeah, the WrestleMania timeline.
That's a good one. No, that's a good one. Wow. Got you.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Got one more if we're not pressed for time. It's a little one. I kind of feel bad because the placement is horrible. We mentioned Christopher Nolan, Dark Knight Rises for a couple minutes. But there was news. Have you guys played Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor?
Mordor.
Yeah. I've never heard of it before today.
Wait. I played Shadow of Earth Battle of Hodor.
Hodor?
Hodor?
Which one had Wreck-It Ralph?
Apparently, it was supposed to be a Dark Knight Rises video game.
It's a Lord of the Rings video
game. I know. Well, let me tell you. So, it was a game based off of Dark Knight Rises. Unfortunately, Christopher Nolan wouldn't greenlit it, so then they greenlit it.
Let's get our conjugation right.
Green light. Okay,
you're doing it in the future and the past at the same time.
You just debuted a new word.
I'm seeing. Okay, whatever. Anyways,
baseball movie.
So they ended up. They were making a Batman movie.
You went back to the future.
Did you just snort?
Did I? Okay, listen. I don't know what's happening. I'm just trying to finish the story. Right.
Well, you're going back to the beginning because your time frames are all messed up.
Long story short, it did.
It's not short.
What?
The story.
The story is not short.
Yeah, so they were making a Batman video game. Christopher Nolan said no, so they ended up making a different video game.
How did Christopher Nolan decide?
Because he owns the intellectual rights to that trilogy and the storyline.
Because they were basically right off that third movie. They were going to play, most of the gameplay would be in the Batmobile, and then there would be like a stealth mode, basically like Arkham.
Did you guys know this, that the third in that trilogy was actually supposed to be two films?
Okay. No.
And they mashed them together.
God, it would be great to have that as a segue.
Yeah, I just didn't want you guys to know that kind of information. So what did
Frank, I'm glad you're here.
did you also know, did you read about this, that originally Super Mario was supposed to be Super Maria? Did you know? It's me, Maria.
Okay, I'm going to go. I thought that was a good story. I thought it was interesting. I didn't know what Middle Earth was.
By the way, my son just calls Luigi Green Mario.
He's taller and thinner. He's the Bert to his Ernie.
Oh. I know. He's like, but he dresses the same.
Not if you're colorblind.
But they're pretty distinct, right? How colorblind do you have to be?
What does he think of Waluigi?
Oh, we haven't even
crossed
that bridge.
There's fat yellow one.
Wario.
Who's fat yellow Mario?
Anyways,
Waluigi.
No, that's
the
Wario.
Purple guy, right?
Wario.
Yeah,
Wario is the fat yellow.
And purple one is Waluigi.
I play with both of them with Mario Kart. They're my team matchup because you have the speed and you have the girth.
Yeah, I'm just.
By the way, evil me is Wazak. In case anybody's wondering.
Anywho, hold on, guys.
I'm gonna put that Dark Knight Rises video game right next to the Batman Beyond video game that I'll never see, but really hope.
I thought we were shelving the topic too.
Well, I wanted to put a pin on it.
Corbin. Yes. Move over for a second. I want to know what Donnie thinks of all this.
Do what?
Donnie.
You know what? I haven't really been listening the last 20 minutes. So, but I do know. Here's
if it's not a pinball game.
I was going to say that.
But yeah, my Wolverine pinball game has been down for a couple of days, so I've been a little bored. But I got jury duty to fill the time.
So what? Explain to me, because I probably took this up on the tangent. So it was a game, and they just revamped it with different graphics?
Well, I don't know how deep into the – not really knowing that much apparently about video games. I'm not really sure how deep into the process they were in on making this game.
They had built a map basically and a physics system and a gameplay structure.
Okay.
So an engine.
They did an engine for it. Mm-hmm. They showed it. This is what we want to do. Christopher Nolan didn't have faith because, as we all know, film and TV and movie adaptations into video games have not been good other than Spider-Man 2 on the PlayStation.
True that.
So he's like, I don't want my name on that. He is very protective of what he does.
I mean, I thought the E.T. game was pretty great for Atari.
Listen, no. Goonies 2.
Oh, my gosh.
Goonies, the first one where you used the yo-yo that had nothing to do with the video game?
That was actually Goonies 2.
That was Goonies 2? What was Goonies 1?
Sequel. It was a sequel to the movie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys know about the E.T. video games that are buried in the desert in Nevada because of how bad it was?
Oh,
they just, yeah.
They just dug a hole and dumped them all.
Millions, right?
They made
hundreds of thousands at the time or whatever.
Yeah.
It destroyed the Atari 2600, I believe. That was
it actually produced by Atari?
I don't know, but I mean, the game was so bad. I remember getting it for Christmas and trying to figure it out.
So sorry. The worst Christmas ever.
Worst Christmas ever.
It was like Ninja Turtles on the NES when that came out.
That was the original. Not the arcade game.
And everybody looked like Raphael on the cover.
But Turtles the arcade game was amazing.
Yes, that one was.
Too.
Yeah, they really
with the Konami code.
But yeah, going down the series.
Konami? That's how you say it?
Konami?
Like Konami code.
I was going
up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, start.
You guys talking old school, the N64.
Yeah. This is before Corbin.
You play with two players.
Oh, before Corbin? Forgot that one.
All right, so... sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Corbin.
Thanks, Corbin.
That's a wrap, right?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right.
No. By the way, Mr. Maurer, thank you very much for joining us today. And I think I'm going to start calling you Kia.
What?
Kia?
Yeah. Those are your initials. Know it all.
Oh.
Mr. Maurer, the Kia.
You drive a Kia?
Because he knows it all.
Have you been saving that joke since...
I just made it up a few minutes ago. I was trying to think if I started going through my head while you other guys were talking, and I...
just tuned out for a second.
Tuned out for a second. Kind of did it, Donnie.
For the whole episode. Is it Mr. Kia or just Kia?
No, just... yeah. Kia, no, you, no. Maurer.
Beep you, Frank. Yeah. It was a pleasure being on.
No, very helpful today.
The pleasure was all yours.
And
yeah.
Listen... looking at that group of guys, it would have to be my pleasure because, no, I don't want to be there.
So, Fireside Chats, welcome to Fireside.com.
Yep, or welcome to Fireside on all the social media. We've got toying around that is getting some action with some of our toy photography.
By the way, how much – those are very good, and I've been liking a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. You've been doing that for a while, but you really started picking up on the Instagram stuff just recently, yes?
Yeah. So I never really liked Instagram. I like reading and I like absorbing information, so I never got that people will just flip through and look through pictures.
I don't.
I have lots of toys, and I
Think about your favorite magazines. Don't you just flip through and look at the pictures?
You got me there.
Oh, man.
Kia.
He reads them for the stories.
Kia Sorrento.
But I saw an opportunity.
You just get it?
You didn't get that joke until there? No. Until he explained it?
No, Adonis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he had brain surgery.
Yeah, but not recently.
So is toying around all about Toy Story? Is that you just kind of do a Toy Story commentary regularly?
No, yeah. Toying Around Live is just toy reviews, toy photography.
And they're really cool because I forget you're a photographer. They're really cool pictures. They're really well done.
You were concerned about a visual medium for photography? You weren't sure if that was going to work?
I haven't done photography as a hobby in about 3 years, 4 years. And shooting toys always seemed like, why would I do that? And then I saw it done really well, and I was like, that's something that you can spend time and actually have art in.
So it's really cool. It's the shadows and the setups and the scenes you're doing are exceptional. It's awesome.
So we're going to be releasing new photos every day starting in a week with a video payoff at the end. And we're going to be doing some choose-your-own-adventures with the photos where the first one's going to be Deathstroke versus Batman, and you'll get to vote to see who wins.
Ooh.
Cool.
That's cool.
That is really... whoa.
So more to come.
Probably Batman.
Batman never wins.
Excuse you?
You were joking.
All right. Anybody else got anything else to plug?
At Comic Playground.
Well, that's us. Yeah. Play. Good. Plugging us is always a good thing.
Yeah. Or at least plugging you, Frank.
Yeah. At Frank Caliendo if you got the time. So. So, again, thank you very much. What were you going to say?
Before you wrap up, did everybody see the extra scene for Endgame that just came out with the taking a knee?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's not a spoiler, Adonis.
I haven't.
Oh.
Well, they take a knee.
Okay.
They'll take a knee.
Iron Man dies.
Oh, no.
And then they show their respects. Okay. Got Mr. Maurer to tear up yet again for this damn movie.
It's kind of redundant, though, with the funeral scene.
So that's what we discussed earlier. I can see why they cut it. Yeah. As a filmmaker, having that twice in a row isn't going to do it, but it is a great scene standalone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. For bringing it out after the fact, it's exceptional, and you almost get to relive this extra moment that you didn't in the movie. You would have felt redundant, but after the fact, it's pretty awesome.
In the movie, I'd still been crying.
Yeah, it's like getting another camera angle for a football game on the instant replay.
Yeah.
You didn't want to see it live because it was a weird angle, but now you saw it and you liked it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a perfect analogy. On that note, Frank, do that thing.
Keep your sheets on the bed and keep studying for the bar.
You wrote that one down, didn't you?
I did. I just wrote it down. I had to think of it while
bringing in the lawyers.
After I did the Kia thing, I wrote that one down because I didn't want to get because I never think of one.
Yeah.
So I zoned out again during the show.
Oh, double zone out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't worry, Frank. Next time we don't need you.
I'm hoping to get the show to that level.
We all are.
That I just, you know, trust me.
Once you leave, it might get there.
I'm hoping.